Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Emporium Smoke Shop. It is in the Del Mar Loop area of St. Louis. This has been a magic kind of place for smokers, a staple for 28 years. I mean, look at all this stuff. Crazy stuff they have. I mean, they have just pipes and pieces and vapes and e-liquids and accessories, Kratom CBD, Delta products, Who's Rolling Papers, locally blown art. Like, look at all this stuff. Each piece is classic. Use promo code LEGENDARY when you go in there. Get a 10% discount. Check it all out. This has been a classic St. Louis staple for 28 years. Come on in.
You know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes numb. You can have a mental freeze when these people talk too much, but the shit is slow motion. Yeah, I feel like an astronaut in the ocean.
This is the best show in the universe. The Anthony Rogers Show. Recorded live in downtown St. Louis. Do you even know where that is, you fucking idiot? Everyone else's show is most likely ran by someone that has a picture with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Remember when we found out that all the famous people, royals, politicians, etc., are just satanic pedophiles? Then we just did nothing about it and moved on with life. I think it was some Israeli blackmail scheme. Anyway, like I was saying, here's the Anthony Rogers Show. The best show in the universe.
Hey, thanks for watching this video, and I want to say without companies like Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil, this video wouldn't be possible to make. So if you go to the link's in the description, Luxurious Bastard, promo code LEGENDARY, and get some beard oil. Great smells, great function, great look, great shine, you know. Do that and support the sponsors so we can continue to make videos like this for you. Thank you.
Hi guys, the moment we've all been waiting for. You've already seen that on this podcast. Please switch your hands together for Anthony Rogers.
How are you 15 people doing? You guys having a good night?
Yeah.
Cool, cool. We got the black people in the back, just like the 60s. Fuck yeah.
And like we all, hey, everybody know ain't no party like a Diddy party, so.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Look at that asphalt. Residential Asphalt Services. Call Dan today.
Well, we survived the longest intro in the fucking world. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Jesus Christ.
We all feel a little older after that. You know, we all aged.
My God.
We all aged a little bit.
I was never going to be a part of this show.
No, I was thinking while you're on here too, like what great marketing it is to market St. Louis products with the biggest comedian in Australia. Like what great.
No, we're gonna get into Dan's asphalt. We're keen on that. Don't worry about that. We're very excited to get involved in that. Hello, buddy.
We're gonna make your fan base come to St. Louis, Missouri to buy glass pipes. That was the ruse. You reproduced. There's two of you.
Connecticut, by the way. He's just woken up.
Hi, how are you, buddy?
Hi, guys. Oh,
what are you doing? What's his name, bro?
Atticus.
Atticus. What
Atticus. Ooh.
Are you going to go over with Mama? Okay. We're all okay. You going to have some lunch?
Okay. I'm jealous of his hairline, like mostly.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, I borrow some of that hair. Like, fuck. Like,
all right, both sides of the family has much baldness on it, so he can enjoy the hair now, but it's going to go.
Sue, little guy.
Well, like, so okay, you're part of this like Australian thing, man. Like, to where like I don't think a lot of people like in my area like focus on it as much like as they should. I feel like so you have a lot of good comics from over there that I feel like weren't affected by this like I guess like cuckery like America had, where you can't say words and you can't, and like you weren't really affected by that. Like, you kind of steamrolled cancel culture, I feel like.
It depends where you are. Like, there's different parts of Australia where it's very similar to sort of like the LA scene, or maybe even up in San Francisco sort of thing, where it's all very much woke culture. It's all extremely left-wing.
Oh, no. Like,
you know, take, for example, the Melbourne Comedy Festival. You have to do a land acknowledgement before the shows, and there's a lot of venues like that down there. And it's just one of those things, honestly, where you have to look at each individual place and work out, you know, who are the people there? Who do they vote for? What type of life do they lead? Like, for example, if you go up north into Queensland in Australia, that's very similar to sort of, you know, Texas, Midwest, that sort of area where people are a little bit more right-wing, a little bit more fun. Everyone's got a few extra guns, that sort of thing. Which is a touchy subject at the moment in Australia. But, yeah, it's definitely a more enjoyable part of the world. But cancel culture is big here. I've copped a lot of it over the last, I don't know how many years I've been doing stand-up. I've been doing stand-up for about 11 years. And when I sort of started to make YouTube videos and more people would come to shows and see the material I do, it certainly hit me a lot harder. So I think that cancel culture is still alive here, but it's certainly, if you just ignore it, it doesn't matter. But I've had a few issues where people have sort of done the cancellation or cancelled me and lost brand deals and stuff like that. And,
oh, damn. Do you have to change your set depending on, like, where you're performing?
No, I don't. Other people would.
Okay.
I don't do that type of stuff. There was one joke I cut out of a show that I did in Sydney, because I had a detective in the audience who had worked on this horrible murder case, well, disappearance case of a kid. And I had a joke in the show about that kid, and he was a friend of mine. So I didn't do the joke there. But other than that, everything else was big. But that's only because it was a friend of mine. So
do you know Louis Spears then?
Sorry?
Do you know Louis Spears and Tristan Barker then?
I do. I know Lewis. I've known Lewis for a long time. I don't know Tristan.
You don't know Tristan? Okay, Tristan was like this dude who basically like he dressed up like a troll and then took off the troll costume, and he was dressed like Adolf Hitler and punched a current affairs guy in the face.
Right.
Do you remember that story?
I think I do. What happened to him? Where is he?
He's hilarious, dude. He's just fucking just funny. I don't think he cares about entertainment, but he's funny.
Okay.
Because Lou came with him. He was Nebs, like in Tristan Barker's little face beef thing. Mm. Were you like made fun of the Janowski? What was that boy band, the Janowski?
No, I remember this. I don't know how I remember this, but I do.
It was like 10 years ago, and it brought me to your country's culture, because I thought that was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my entire life when I saw Tristan Barker do that. And then that's how I found you, and then found like y'all. You know Lane then too, the rapper, Saint Lane.
Oh, Saint Lane. Yeah, I know Lane. Yeah, absolutely. I'm good friends. Well, but Lane and I were good friends a long time. I haven't seen him in a long time, but he's doing well. We exchange pleasantries on Christmas. That's about it. But I have a lot of love for Lane. He's a good dude.
So you know him? Okay, that's crazy. I didn't know you knew these people. Yeah. So those guys are all like, I mean, your country has a lot of good art out there, and I think like Lane's a great rapper, and I think like like Lewis Spears and you and like Tristan are some of the funniest guys ever. I've never met Lewis, but I know about him through Tristan. But that's some of the funniest people I've ever seen in my life. Like you, I just like the cultural differences are just hilarious as fuck to me. Like how a guy like you just came out of Australia. Like you seem more American than I do. I feel like
I mean, we're heavily influenced by American culture here. Like, yeah. Obviously, all the movies we see, the Australian movie industry is terrible. The only dudes that are doing anything or have done anything good out of Australia at the moment are the Raka Raka brothers. You know those guys. They've done two feature films. I can't remember the production company, but they're horror films.
Okay.
And they've done Bring Her to Me and something else, another one like that. Anyway, some of the best films of the year. I'm sure they got nominated for massive awards in Hollywood too. Like they're doing amazing stuff. But they started on YouTube. They started with like a lot of – I can remember them, and it must have been around Lewis's time and when he was like the Neb situation and Tristan as well. They were doing like pranks with – dressed up as Ronald McDonald. And then they moved into like really amazing effects for wrestling videos and stuff like that. If you look up Raka Raka on YouTube, some of their videos are they've got this Nerf gun video that is absolutely like the production value in it. And they actually got barred from YouTube because their videos were violent. And then they ended up getting picked up by A21, is it, the film company? A21, whatever it is, a big film company. They work with all these people, and they're doing amazing stuff now. So there's actually some decent films coming out of Australia, but it's been a long time coming. So they're doing great. But the comedy industry here is pretty cool. You meet a lot of really interesting people. A lot of the guys, even on like shows like Kill Tony, there's starting to be a lot more Australian guys on.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Nice.
Hey, awesome. Oh, Frank, how you doing, brother?
Is this Frankie McDonald, our weather guy?
Yes. Yes, they got a blizzard conditions headed for Regina, Saskatchewan, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Prince Albert's going to bring so much high winds and heavy snow tomorrow in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Regina, Saskatchewan. Then it's going to head towards Brandon, Manitoba, Port Lake, Manitoba, Provincial Prairie, Manitoba, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Then a massive blizzard is going to work its way to Timmins, Ontario on Thursday and Thunder Bay and all those places. And Kapuskasing and Hearst, Ontario is going to bring so much snow and very strong winds. And Ontario and Timmins and all those places. Then they got lots of rain headed for Eastern United States of America. Regina Visconti is Friday.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, it's going to bring high winds and heavy rain all across eastern United States of America, where Gino Visconti, the host of the Hot Water Show, lives. And that's going to hit Nova Scotia Friday overnight and the Saturday morning with high winds and heavy rain. Then it's going to be getting colder on Saturday evening as well. And right now in Sydney, Nova Scotia, it's going to turn really mild on Wednesday. On December the 17th, and I'm doing great over here. So all the here's Charlotte Street in Sydney.
Nice. What about Australia?
It's getting really hot in Australia. Bringing a lot of large hail and severe weather up in northern Australia and eastern Australia, like Brisbane, Australia lately. And their summer starts on Sunday. And then for Cargill, New Zealand, Edendale, New Zealand, and Riversdale, New Zealand, Wallacetown, New Zealand, and all those places.
What about and Newcastle? That's where I am.
Starts on December 21st.
And
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle.
Newcastle, Australia.
Yeah, you got the word on Newcastle?
And did you hear what they said? South Africa is getting really hot weather lately. A lot of rain and thunderstorms going on in Congo, Sierra Congo, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Namibia, Northern Namibia, and Angola, and all those places. And did you hear a lot of rain and thunderstorms in Central America, South America right now? Here's Charlotte Street in Sydney.
Australia is basically Africa, so he's, you know, he's right. Like,
yeah, we yeah,
flood, etc. I'm showing you Sydney, Nova Scotia, right now.
Some of your best work.
Is it snowing? Is it snow on the ground?
It's Canada. It's always snowing. It never.
It's snow on the ground, and that means for Florida had snow in the end of January last year, winter.
Oh, last year. Yeah, probably.
Early in January 2025, Florida had snow in northern Florida.
No, you're right. I remember that. What's us?
In California, had
like 50 right now.
California had the biggest event in California is so much powerful winds caused a lot of fires and Santa Ana winds destroyed a lot of neighborhoods outside of Los Angeles. Back in January 2025, it was really bad.
Okay, dude. So do you know who the comedian Isaac Butterfield is?
That means a how are things so far, Butterfield?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Isaac Butterfield. I'm doing great so far.
Fantastic, mate. I'm glad to hear that.
So we got Canada, Australia, and America on this stream right now. We got three countries.
I'm in Sydney, Nova Scotia right now. In Sydney, Nova Scotia, I'm showing you Isaac. I'm going to show you Sydney.
Yeah, I'm near Sydney. I'm about 2 hours north of Sydney, in a place called Newcastle.
No, he's in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Sydney, Nova Scotia, Canada. Here, Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, no, I didn't think you were in Australia. It's not
okay.
Snow. Okay,
fair.
It's snowing in Australia, bro.
It's very hot.
And every time I see Frankie, will be out there in June. He's got the same hat, and it's snow everywhere. Still, and like June, it'll be like it never stops snowing wherever he's at. I feel like.
That's Sydney, Nova Scotia, not Sydney, Australia. I'm in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Canada. I've never been to Canada. I've been to America about five or six times, but I've never been to Canada. I'll have to go.
They're very polite.
Anthony, you've never been to Sydney, Nova Scotia yet.
No, I've only been to Vancouver. I've only been on the west side. I haven't been on the east side.
You might try to get to Sydney, Nova Scotia at some point.
Deal. We'll do the weather reports live from there. We'll look at that street. We'll go live from that street you're on. I'm like, yeah.
I did your hair. Put this in, and things are going great so far. And this is the end, last Anthony Rogers show before Christmas.
That's true. And Hanukkah.
Didn't Hanukkah already start, I think?
I can't keep up.
I don't know. That's what someone told me. I have no idea.
And things are going great so far. And things are going really well on my side. And Missouri is going to get warmer and colder. They're fighting each other in Missouri as well. Then you got some really dry air in California. It's supposed to be a lot of rain and flooding in California around Christmas Day.
And Southern California, what part of California?
And if you're here, but there's some places like Los Angeles and all those places. They're in a dry spell right now, causing Santa Ana winds in Los Angeles. It's been a lot of snow. Squalls in northwestern Japan. And so far, Hokkaido, Japan had a lot of snow back on Sunday.
Not Japan. Well, I tell you what, I didn't know all of this before I came on the show, and now I do, and I'm happy. I'm pleased that I was invited on this beautiful program to hear the weather reports in Japan and South Africa, and now I know it all. So my day will continue.
That means that a lot of rain and wind in UK, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. In Dunkirk, France, and all those places, snow up in the mountains in Norway, rain in coast areas in Norway, snow up in the mountains, Finland and Sweden as well. And northern Chile is really dry right now, northern Chile, and lots of rain coast areas in southern Chile, snow up in the mountains in southern Chile. Their summer starts on December 21st.
Slightly cold in Chile. Ah, interesting.
Chile is a different country down South America.
Mm.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, Frank. I appreciate it, man.
If you want to follow my social media, my blue sky is at Frankie MacD, and my link tree is Frankie MacDonald, and my Reddit is FrankDonald94, and my threads is at Frankie MacD94, and my ex former Twitter is at Frankie MacD. My Facebook is Frankie MacDonald. My Instagram is Frankie Mac D 94. My TikTok is FrankDo 94. My Clapper is FrankDo 94. My Twitch is FrankDo 94. My Snapchat is Frankie ABC D1. My YouTube channel is Dogs and Wolves. Merry Christmas to all listeners to Anthony Rogers Show and Anthony Rogers and Nikki Knightley and the guests on Anthony Rogers Show. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Best of luck there. I'm Frank Dunn. You're listening to Anthony Rogers. So I'll see you on January 6th. Merry Christmas to the Anthony Rogers and the listeners of the Anthony Rogers Show. Merry Christmas and a Happy
Merry
New Year.
Merry Christmas, Frankie.
Happy holidays. Hey, Frankie.
That was the most hyped weather story of all time. I feel hyped after it. I feel like I just like worked out or something. I got the
I didn't know he was going to come in and then leave. I thought he was going to be here for the whole show.
Oh, no.
He just stopped in. And
one told me that. I thought that was going to be the rest of the show. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, good on you, Frankie. Thank you, dude. But, you know, my special's coming out next week on YouTube. I've got to talk about it.
Dude, that would be funny as fuck. Just, like, have him talk the rest of the time. No, that would be funny.
Oh, my God.
You're too quiet.
He's just going to talk over us the rest of the time, okay? So sit tight.
No, you're a legend, man. I wouldn't do that to you. No, Frankie's a legend too. Frankie's probably the most famous weather guy on earth. Like he has a shit ton of people on Instagram, YouTube, all that too. He's honestly he reminds me of being a kid. And that's why I like his energy. Yeah. He reminds me of just being like,
oh, lovely dude. I was just scared he was going to be here for the.
Oh, I know. I see his vibe. You're like, what the fuck did I get myself into? I should never.
My camera's out of focus. Look out of focus.
You were in Austin around the time. You were on Uncle Laser's show. I was, I think. So you know Uncle Laser too, then?
Yeah, I know. No, I know Laser. He's a really good dude. He's very nice guy. I was lucky enough to meet a lot of really cool comics whilst I was in down in Austin not too long ago. Is that better if I sit back like that?
Austin's fucking weird, right? It's like just a bunch of homeless people everywhere and shit.
I can see you. Yeah, well, maybe you look a little more in focus. I see you.
It's I had to turn manual focus. It's a whole thing. Anyway, Austin's really cool. I really like Austin. It's a really fun place to be. It's just the comedy scene. Like, to compare it to, like, Australia, like, we just don't have the ability to do shows. Like, it's because we only have 26 million people here. Like, unless you're in a capital city, you can maybe – if you're in a capital city, you can probably do, like, 1, 2, maybe 3 shows a week, like, just little spots. But you know, you can't do much more than that. Where I live in Newcastle, it's you can do one spot a week maybe if you want to do an open mic, or there might be one paid gig somewhere. Otherwise, you've got to travel. But, you know, you go to Austin, you can do 3, 4, 5 spots a night if you're willing to travel. Yeah. I ran into Laser. He was at where was he? He was the creek in the cave or whatever, wherever he was. And he's going, oh, mate, I've got to go. I've got bloody 3 more shows to go to. Then I'm going to the mothership. Then I'm doing this. Then I'm doing that. And I was like, wow, this is where you want to be if you're doing stand-up. But also there's so many people there trying to do stand-up and starting off their careers. And that's beautiful too. Like, you know, we were all in that position at some point starting off. And I felt like even though I've carved a path for myself here in this country, I felt like I was just starting out when I went to Austin.
I saw you on Kill Tony and I'm like, how the fuck is he not on the panel? Like, I was just like, that's what I thought immediately. I saw you other. I'm like, do they even know who Isaac Butterfield is? Like, I saw that other. I'm like, you're fucking huge compared to even the guys that are on the panel. And I'm like, watch this. I'm like, how is he just doing the minute set? That was so crazy to me.
But I'm willing to start from, you know, the bottom and work my way up. I don't have any qualms about that.
That's why we're successful. No, it's awesome. Who's that other guy? That fighter and biker guy. He's Australian too, I think. I forgot his name right now. He was on there too, and he wasn't on the panel. I thought that was weird as fuck.
Fucking what's his name?
He beat up Laser at Skankfest. I forgot his fucking name. Like, he was like the boxing match. He wasn't like fucking.
Yeah. I can't. I'm having a massive. Blanking. The reason I don't know his name is he's on Instagram. It's something Wolf.
Yeah, it's Wolfmate or something on Instagram.
Wolfmate, yeah. Good. Have your fucking name in there.
Jason something. Jason Ellis. Jason Ellis.
That's it. Yeah,
he did the same thing you did. I'm like, watch this. I'm like, Jason Ellis had a SiriusXM show for a decade and has one of the biggest shows I've ever seen in my life. And he's like doing the 1 minute on Kill Tony. I'm like, do these guys not know who the fuck you guys are? Because that's like
crap. I had no idea. I didn't know who Jason was. I know he's hilarious, though.
Yeah, he's
very, very funny.
He did a minute there too, and I'm like, these guys are fucking legends, and they're just doing a minute right now. That's crazy. Like,
hey, it's I've met Tony before, and they're all lovely people, so I'm not mad at it at all, and I'll be heading back over. You know, to do all that stuff again. I was lucky enough to do shows in LA and New York as well, and I got to do one right in Times Square. That was crazy. So
that's cool. I was drinking with Wazer.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Dude, the Kill Tony thing's so sad on the one side. They're like, put your name in a bucket, wear a wristband, all shit. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I couldn't, like, I respect you humbled yourself to do that. Cause like, I'm just like, no, immediately. They're like, you gotta do all this stuff. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm just gonna drink tequila. Fuck this.
No, I don't.
my wife loves Kill Tony and has done for a long time. And she said, you have to do it, Isaac. And I was like, oh, and I did. I had a bit of an ego and was like, you know, I should be doing this or whatever. But she said, just do it. So I went there, signed up. I didn't get drawn the first week I went. The second week I did.
Nice.
I was lining up and there was this dude there who was, he looked like he had a little bit of tism. And he said, you know, he'd never done stand-up before. And he was telling the guy, like, I've never done it. He said, I was just like, I'm driving somewhere. He was driving through Austin and thought he'd give it a go. And he was asking, like, telling this guy, and then he asked me. He was so scared, like he's shaking. This is in the sign-up hours before, because you got to get there at like 5 o'clock, and the show's at 8 or whatever. Oh, yeah. And anyway, so he signed up, and he's freaking out and panicking, and he says to me, "How long have you been doing stand-up for?" And he's shaking. I go, "Oh, I've been doing it for 11 years." He's like, "Oh, I've never done it." He said, "So how does the when should you do? How many times should you do a punchline?" And you know, how many punchlines in a minute? And I was like, dude, you're going to get like an ass ripped if you get up on this show. But he didn't. But it was a scary situation for me, even when I got called, because I was like, I was really nervous about it, because it is like, because I am like, I've been a pro comic for years and years.
If you bomb, it'd be kind of embarrassing.
Oh, the worst, right? Luckily I had an okay set and it was all fine, but I was a bit drunk and stuff, and I very rarely get really drunk when I get on stage. Sometimes the only time I've ever really been truly pissed was in Perth. I was drinking doubles of like some sort of whiskey, and because I go to my drink a lot, it must be like a nervous thing. Like I went through like four doubles on stage, and I did like an hour and 45 minutes. It was fucked. So anyway, it was great to do that. It was fun to do that. Got to do plenty of other shows in town, but there are so many people there, like the signups and stuff. I don't know if you've done any like sort of open mics or whatever there, because I didn't really know anyone when I first got to Austin. I knew Laser and I knew a couple of other people in town, but that was it. I'd talked to David Lucas before, and so he helped me out with a few ideas and stuff of where to go. And then I just went on the Austin comedy page, and I was there with one of my friends, Ben, who's my opener in Australia, and we just went and just sort of, you know, saw how we went, you know, sort of thing. Signed up. If we got in, we got in. If we didn't, we didn't. But it was great. It was a great experience. I look forward to heading back to America in the early part of next year, and it's a great – I love it. I love it. It's such a great country. I actually took my mate Ben to the Austin shooting range, and he shot an AK-47, the first gun he's ever shot. So, in America.
That's a wild first gun to shoot. Like,
he couldn't believe, he loved it too. He was very nervous beforehand, and then after he'd done that, he was just like, "This is the best thing ever." I was like, "Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun shooting guns. I mean, as long as they're not shooting at a person, like, I mean, unless they break into your house, then like maybe that's different."
Well, we're at a bit of a crossroads. Tell that joke, you know? Right now, we're a lot of people want to have guns. They want to have the ability to have guns because there is, over the past 6 months or 12 months, there's seemed to be, if it's not an actual increase in gun violence, it's certainly an increase in reports or media coverage. And then after the massacre that happened on Sunday in Australia at Bondi Beach, like people, which was the most hectic thing I've seen in a long time. That was it's crazy to see, like, old mate standing up on the bridge and just firing shots off like he's in fucking Call of Duty. It was
Did a bunch of people die? I briefly heard about that, but I didn't really read anything. Like
16, 17 people, kids, it's just randoms on the beach. Well, not randoms, Jewish people on the beach. They were at a Hanukkah celebration and first night of Hanukkah. That's the only reason I know that Hanukkah started. I don't know.
I've got
one Jewish friend. He's in America, but
everyone's pissed at the Jews, man. Everyone's pissed at the Jews.
Yeah, that's like crazy. It's weird they use guns. All they had to do was use ovens, right? Like they should have like they said the ovens go to waste.
It was a hot day too, so apparently the Jews milk. But it's it was crazy to see that, and I was watching it in real time too. So I think they were shooting for like 20 minutes before the police killed them. So.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah. It's a hectic thing. Like there's all these. One guy tackled one of the guys with the gun and then held him at gunpoint, which was crazy. And then when these two gunmen got out of their car, they had to park quite a fair way away because the parking's terrible. They had explosives in the car, the whole thing. And they got out of their car, and these two Jewish people, these old couple, like in their 60s or whatever, they were walking to the beach celebration area. Like it wasn't on the beach. It was like right in front of the beach, nice little, you know, shaded area, whatever. And the dude grabs the gun, sees the guy with the gun, grabs it and starts wrestling it. They both died. The wife and husband, girl died, the 10-year-old. Oh, mate, a Holocaust survivor died 85 years old.
So do you think if more people at the beach had guns that they would have been safer? From the people,
I mean, but also, this is the problem with guns, right? When everyone has a gun, there's always that potential for everyone to use the gun. I don't know. I love guns. I enjoy guns. I don't know if I want everyone having a gun. It is a bit scary. There's a lot of crazy people around here that shouldn't
have guns.
There's
a lot of people we don't want having guns. And you can't really.
For sure. Yeah. But also, like, there's a lot of crazy people in cars too. They drive past. Yeah. A group of people. If you walk in the city and you're walking along a road and everyone's traveling, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, like how easy is it for someone to just slightly turn their wheel and take you out?
Totally.
You just hope that people don't do that. And it's the same with knives. There was a stabbing in Bondi in Sydney actually a year and a bit ago, a year and a half ago, same area where this shooting was. And an Australian guy just was off his meds, off his head. Crazy dude just went and stabbed like another 15 people or something. So
that's a lot of people to stab. My God.
He literally, like, say you were at the mall, just ran from shop to shop stabbing people. It was insane. So, like,
that's
the same in the UK with knife crime. Like, it's just, it's crazy people. It's the mental illness. It's the radicalization. It's the.
Well, mental illness, I feel like, has gone up dramatically in the last like 20 years. It's like, I don't even really remember hearing about mass shootings when I was like a kid. Like, I feel like it's become like a bigger issue, like, more recently. Like, there was a mass shootings in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Like, I don't know. It's just a weird phenomenon that's, like, I feel like caused by mental illness.
Yeah, I mean, there was one in Australia in 1996, and that's why we had all the guns banned.
Okay.
In 1996, there was this guy called Martin Bryant, and he went down to a what is an old convict. So people who came out on, like, they were prisoners on ships from England back in the day. They built this I think it was a settlement or it was a jail actually. Anyway, and then it turned into like sort of other things over time. And anyway, it was famous for being this place you'd come and visit. It was a tourist attraction. And in 96, he went down and killed 35 people. And what's crazy about that, and listen, this is up on Rumble, so I guess I can talk about it. There's a lot of conspiracies about that, about how many people he killed and the amount of headshots he had in comparison to these two gunmen on the weekend here in Australia, where Martin Bryant killed 35 in a you know, an area that didn't have that many people. Like, it's not a crazy amount of people. And then these two killed 16, which was a massive number, but there were so many people there, you know, and they were.
I think it's like I think it's like Bill Cooper's like Beyond a Pale Horse, where they basically make all these like semi-automatic and automatic weapons like readily available. So then they get all these tragedies happening. So then the public is like begging for their rights to be taken away. And I think it's like an orchestration. Basically,
they're
taking my guns and rights because people might die. You know what I mean? I just take all my freedom. I'll live in a cage and be safe. You know, it's just like that's just the dumbing down of the entire fucking world. And like the five people that run the world fucking hate us and want to kill us. And they want to. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. Like, America's like the last country where it's just like, shut up.
Definitely.
You mean, it's like it's the last country like that. And like, we're very similar, I think, too, because I think you were.
Or there could be people that are like MK Ultra. You know what I mean? That are just like sleeper agents that like get triggered and don't even remember that they were like MK Ultra, you know?
And then heavily publicized. And then you have like Sandy Hook kids on like TikTok. Like, I was in Sandy Hook and like, I'm going to stop guns. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you're the only person I shouldn't listen to because you couldn't stop a shooting in your own school. Like, I mean, like, to be honest, I mean, just like basically, I'm like, why would I listen to somebody that couldn't stop a shooting in their school? And also, like, the only footage you actually have is Columbine in America. You have 1999 footage, this grainy footage from Columbine, because that was the real shooting that they realized how everybody reacted to it. And they used that to take away our rights. And then they stage them all the time, too, now, because like, nothing says Sandy Hook's real like suing Alex Jones for billions of dollars. No, trust us, we're real. We're going to sue you because you said we're not. It was just like, I mean, it's all, in my opinion, it's all theater basically to make us beg to give up our rights.
Yeah, I wonder, like, because people said that after a lot of people are shouting false flag about what happened here. And
really?
I don't know. A lot of people think it's Mossad. They think that Israeli people paid people to shoot the
Jews. I've heard that too.
I have no idea. I'm not fucking there. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just going off the media files I saw.
But there's definitely people talking about that online, and a lot of people really angry, and I get that. One of the things I've always wondered is, are things like this, because a lot of people say it's all planned by the government, like, you know, it's all created, or do they just have something like this and then go, okay, let's look at the positive. We can take guns off people. We can do this. We can do that.
They wait for the strategy and then attack them.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
A little bit of both. Could be a little bit of both.
Sure. Well, the government, he was coming into government. Well, he was looking to get elected, I think. John Howard. He was like basically running for prime minister here, and this tragedy happened. It either happened immediately before the election or just after, and he like cemented his massive long reign as prime minister by doing this massive thing, and people were like, yes, take them off us, we can't be trusted, these people can't be trusted. And again, I get it, it's a very visceral reaction too. You see something horrible like that and people are so sad here because of this horrible thing, and rightfully so. But you know, do you want to, I don't know, I'm a bit of a prepper. I'm like, what if shit hits the fan? Ever since COVID, I'm like, I don't trust any of these people. It's not that I don't trust the politicians themselves. It's whatever's sort of, you know, the old deep state sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
you're very real.
No, like my friend, like Tristan Barker got banned from using the internet in your country. They made it to where he couldn't use the internet. They take away that right. That's crazy to me.
Why? What did he do? What was the story there?
Well, that's the guy who slapped the reporter, punched the reporter, dressed like Adolf Hitler on the TV show on Current Affairs. He he like said, "I'll fuck you with scissors" in German and got away with it. And they aired that. And then he slapped a guy in the face, which I think is fucking funny, to be honest. But he was like, I think they're more mad at him using the internet to build up a following like you did. And then he would make fun of all the tragedies, like how you have empathy. He would fake like he doesn't have empathy as a character. And then basically right. just be like, fuck this person and fuck this person. You're only sad because TB made you sad. And like, to me, fucking funny. But I was a kid when I saw it. You know, it's like he's like different now. But as a fan of like teenage art, he was like a teenage punk rock kind of guy, I feel like, you know.
I guess it depends on what situation you're in. If I was on stage, I'd make a joke about Bondi, 100%.
Right.
But there's a difference between being on stage being a piece of shit as your stand up, your character, whatever you want to call it, actually what you truly believe. I feel there's a, and it changes back and forth too. Like if you say that I'm a character when I'm on stage, yeah, sometimes. Other times I'm not. I'm being, you know, really me. It just goes, it ebbs and flows. I'm like a bipolar person, or borderline personality disorder. I swap back.
So we shouldn't trust you with guns, is that what you're trying to say?
No. no, you cannot. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It was crazy to see it, like watching it on X the other day in real time. Yeah, blew my mind. But it was the same thing when Charlie Kirk got shot. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Not as much as.
But, again, that's another perfect example. Like, what the fuck's really going on here? Like, did his wife kill him? Like, how come she has no tears when she cries? Like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I thought at the start that was like sort of her stoic mindset. And now I'm like, just take some time off. You don't have to. Surely you've got enough money. You don't have to keep like. But maybe it's keeping. I like to play devil's advocate. Maybe it's keeping her grief at bay. Maybe she's feeling attached to him, doing those things. Or maybe
I haven't seen any authentic grief from her. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird. That whole thing's weird, and everything we see is weird. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like every tragedy we see, like people are breaking it down frame by frame, 3 seconds after it happens, and they've got conspiracy theories immediately. And I love conspiracies. Like I sometimes believe, you know, I think everyone takes on the official story at the very start, and then as the media continually reports on it, they start to sort of fall away from that official story. Like we all did that in Australia when we saw some things happening, like happening live on X, on Twitter, and then that night it was being reported on the news, and you're like, no, that didn't happen like that. That's not actually true. There's one guy.
Speaking of violence, we're going to do an ad read for Andrew Tate's fight real fast. Like, get ready, fight fans, on December 20th, the biggest crossover boxing event of the year drops live from Dubai on Rumble Premium. It's Misfits Mania, the fight before Christmas, headlined by Andrew Tate, stepping in the ring against heavyweight champion Chase D'Amore for Misfits Boxing heavyweight title. This isn't just another bout. It's a global event with stacked undercard and all-out action you can't miss. Tune in to exclusively on Rumble Premium and win its drama power and the most talked-about clashes of the year. Mark your calendars December 20th because Misfits Mania is about to deliver fireworks right up today. It always sounds authentic when you read something, but you have a special coming out too, right? Like you have a
I got brand new comedy special coming out on it'll be Sunday in America this coming Sunday.
What's it called?
It's called Public Enemy.
Cool.
Tells the story of the last couple of years of my life where my wife and I, we had a baby. I got cancelled in the middle of having a baby, got taken to the Human Rights Commission here in Australia for a joke, and it details all of that. So there's a lot of horrible words. There's a lot of mean things said, but it's a good time, I think. And I think a lot of people really enjoy it. It was filmed at the State Theatre in Sydney, which is a beautiful old building. So it's
really cool.
And it's my first special in, I think, since 2019. So it's been a long old time. Or maybe 2020. But yeah, COVID put a bit of the kibosh on that, and there's been a bit of a wait between now and then. But anyway, it's out now. It'll be out on Sunday. I think you should check it out. I think it's very, very swell indeed.
I will check that out for sure. I actually like a comedy a lot. But what is the ethics community? What did you say? Backtrack a little bit. You had to go to the ethics what now? I'm sorry?
Okay, so I made a joke about Aboriginal people. Now, Aboriginal people are in every country. It basically means indigenous, right? They're indigenous to that land.
They're always crying. What'd they say about you? What'd they say about your words?
They what?
Well, they're always crying. What'd they say about your words?
No, I disagree. They're very, very, everything's good.
after they beat me into submission, I actually agree
after with them. After I kind of
lost to inside, I think they're the perfect people.
Very big fan I am. No,
they always have stuff on their face. Like, they look like pencil drawings on their fucking face and shit. And then just no like, comment. Yeah.
And I might do a land acknowledgement before I continue. And anyway, so they basically said that I said this joke about I'd never seen a transgender person who was Aboriginal. Maybe they're hard to spot because all the ladies look like dudes. That's all I said. And so I put that up as a clip on TikTok, and it went viral, but in like the worst way. Like, I think it started off like it got maybe 200 or 300 like likes on TikTok, and it was all like people who followed me, and they're like, ha 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 ha. And then it just exploded. I was like, Jesus, it's got a lot of views. And I looked at it, and I'm just getting absolutely smashed in the comment section. You racist, you horrible person. Then, like, everywhere, and all the media's talking about it. And people are writing these articles saying, oh, comedian does intentionally offensive joke. I'm like, yeah, that's whatever. And then I eventually, somebody tried to fight me at my local coffee shop. It was a whole thing. And
a fight at the local coffee shop. Like, you're a big guy. How big was that guy?
Well, I'm 6'8". He wasn't as big as me.
At a coffee shop, I was thinking he probably wasn't as big as you.
He was. I was sitting down. My wife was heavily pregnant at the time. I shouldn't have been hiding behind her, but she saved me. Anyway,
he used her as a human shield.
Yeah, well, two humans. You know, they both protected me. I basically got served. I received this letter. Or a manila folder, basically. Well, not a manila folder, a manila envelope in the mail. My postman delivered it to my door. He goes, "What's this?" And it was from the Human Rights Commission of Queensland, Australia. And they said, "You've had one complaint, and you are basically going to have to go to a tribunal or court." I refer to it as court, because if you make me go to a place where people are judging a situation, that's a court, in my humble opinion. But anyway, they said, you've got to go here. This lady wants you to receive training and education and apologize for the joke. She said, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is roundabout the quote. It's been a long time now, but she said, "You instilled fear in my family. They feared for their lives," something like that, she said.
Oh my God.
Like, it's Stop. Crazy, man. And
that's fucking insane. That's fucking insane.
It is so insane. It's crazy.
The natives on every continent
for our lives.
The natives on every continent need to take the LRA. It's like, sorry about all this. Shut up. You know, it's like, holy fuck, that's crazy to me. It's like, just no.
And like, people just didn't get it. Like, even my own family, like, my dad was like, "You understand why that's offensive?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "You should learn more about things like the Stolen Generation, where white people went in and basically stole the kids and put them with white families." And I said to him, I said, "That's, you know, it's obviously horrible to steal kids away from their families." And he said, "You know how offensive that is. Would you still do a joke?" And I said, "Yes, of course I would." No, that's the whole point. Anyway, I say to these guys, "Listen, I can't do that date. I'm not going to fly from New South Wales to Queensland. It's like an hour and 20-minute flight or whatever it is. I'm not going to fly there. That's ridiculous. What, under my own, I have to pay for it as well? You have to pay, you know. I got to pay for lawyers. I got to do all this type of stuff." I asked my lawyer. He had no idea. He was like, "I don't know what this is. I don't know what they can do." I was like, "Am I going to go to jail here if they find me guilty?" He goes, "I don't know. Are they going to fine me? I don't know." Because there was no sort of there was no test case. This hadn't been sort of, and it still hasn't, because a year and a half later they withdrew the complaint. Now, obviously, as a YouTuber, I made fucking 400 videos on this. So I think I'll just see them again. Yes, another video. Every time they updated the story, I was like, yes, another video. And like, the titles were like, "I'm going to court. I'm in court again. Take me to court." Anyway, so
it's weird to play victim like for them, because like your population basically was a prison colony. They like sent you there for like stealing pies and shit in England. So I mean, you basically the entire Australian population of Caucasians was sent there as a prison colony. And they're like, it's like a who's a bigger victim contest, really. It's just like fucking crazy. and then the natives are so fucking insane in your country, dude. Like, to be honest, like, it's just like, and they are here too. I went to like a South Dakota spot. And they're like just mad at me for being white. I'm like, I actually like it. I love when people don't like me. So it's like a fun vibe, you know. It's like a weird thing. It's like when the fuck are they going to take a loss?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it's
just like. I grew up around a lot of Aboriginal people, and I never saw like this. I understand like racism and. It's not very nice, etc. But
it's not very nice. Racism isn't very nice. I like that.
It's not. Well, it's not. You can't argue with me on that. It's not.
That's a great line.
And I, you know, we'd all make fun of each other, not just based on race, but we just made fun of things. And that was how I dealt with it. And that's how I went to stage. And, you know, man, it's one of those things. But I've had a lot of weird sort of cancellation things. I had the premier, which is the governor of Tasmania. He wanted me banned from that state because I made a joke about a jumping castle tragedy where these kids died. I've had even back in 2018, they wanted me banned from the Melbourne Comedy Festival because I made a Holocaust joke, and like the whole Jewish community wanted me, you know, dead, and like they hated me. And then there was a joke about the Christchurch massacre where like 32 Muslims died, and then that was really scary. I got 60,000 DMs in 24 hours.
That's crazy.
All angry, no tits, just angry. No tits. Just angry.
Not even angry tits, just death. I'll take angry tits,
but yeah, no, just angry, angry people. And yeah, so that was very, very full on. But anyway, it is what it is. It's one of these things, and you just got to sort of deal with it. And I enjoy offensive humor. So that's
me too. That's why. I like you for the reasons they hate you. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. I like your vibe because of that, man. I like that you don't back down and like shit like that. I mean, yeah, man. I hate that fucking cuckoldery, man. Where it's like everyone's just like the biggest victim contest, crybaby bullshit, like century. That's like what it feels like. It's like, well, I'm a bigger loser because I'm unemployed. I don't like this. I don't like this. You have to listen to me because I'm a fucking loser, idiot, retard. I mean, it's basically what it feels like. It's like holy fuck, dude. You know what I mean? I like don't, and like they're like. I like how their only thing in their life that's bad is racism. Like that's if racism is your biggest problem, you live in the first world. Welcome to the first world. If you complain about being insulted because of like how you're perceived and stereotypes, grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah, I feel like even when people are actually being like, or if people really look at it, the actual racism never gets called out. Like there's genuinely hateful, like realistically in Australia, we are a lot more racist to like Asian people or Indians.
As you should
than
be.
We are.
I'm sure.
Sorry?
I said as you should be.
I agree. Can't drive and they smell. Allegedly. But like it's just like they cop so much. Anyway, I'm a flat out horrible person, etc. So this is the thing. Like I get a lot of Aboriginal dudes at shows and I love it. I love having people there who have a different background to me. I think it's great. And I welcome all that shit. It's the same when I have people in wheelchairs. Like I just talk mad shit to them, you know. You call them the R word and all. It's like immediately autistic people. There's so many autistic people that come to shows, maybe because I'm popular on the internet and autistic people like to live on the internet. Shout out. And yeah, so it's, you just pick on what not the defining factor, but the most obvious thing. That's what you pick on. Like there's actual racism, and actual racism's horrible. When you're just slightly being racist, it's like if you talk shit to a white person because they can't jump, they can't dance, they got a little dick, whatever. You know, all
of those things. Too busy rolling the world to jump right now, you know? We're too busy enjoying all
I'm enjoying the spoils of hundreds of years of white supremacy. I don't have time to jump. I'm flat out.
We start talking ways about racism. I'm like, wait, so your grandparents were losers too? Holy shit! How far does this go back? You know what I mean like fucking like I have no like sympathy for losers. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. Like I feel like you should win, and if you don't win, you just cry about it a bunch. You get ignored by winners. You know, that's how I feel. Just enjoying all this fucking free land and all this dope shit. My grandparents like, generated people who built for me.
So they ended up dropping the case, and that was it. So. But yeah, it is a problem in Australia. Free speech doesn't exist here. It's we don't have it in our constitution at all. It's not protected, and so we sort of run into those problems. Like if not in this show, I don't really have any Jewish jokes in this special. But I do worry about next year's show. I've got some Jewish stuff in that, and I'm worried.
Going to get you, bro. Be careful.
Well, there's so many, but like obviously people get angry. They get angry, but I'm more worried about the actual police, you know. So
yeah.
Anyway, it is what it is.
That's wild.
The Jews got tired
times we're living in.
Well, sorry, what?
I was just saying it's strange times we're living in, especially as comments. It's like, what can we say? What can't we say? I go back and I watch like old stand-up comedy, and I'm like, God, this shit is so just not. I mean, no one could get away with this shit like today, and it sucks because I feel like comedy was so much better. When it wasn't filtered, you know, like people could just say whatever the fuck they wanted and no one really got that offended about it. It was fine. Like Dave Chappelle, it's like he made fun of every fucking race. He didn't give a shit. Like no one was off topic. Like that's why I wasn't really racist, because he just made fun of everybody. Like it wasn't like he picked on one specific. I guess now his shit is picking on like trans, which is still really hilarious to me. But like,
I deserve it.
Chappelle's kind of gay and boring.
I don't know. It's just, that's a whole other fucking topic. But like,
I like Chappelle's show, man. Like, Chappelle's show is like one of the most well-written shows of all time. But now he's just like an old dude telling stories with cigarettes. He's like, oh man, when I was funny, dude, like all this shit happened. I'm like, holy fuck, dude. It's like, I can't listen to like somebody's like grandpa tell me stories. It's like, holy fuck, dude. I can't do this. I can't sit through this. I can't do this.
I don't know. I don't watch a lot of stand-up anyway. I'm around it too much and I'm just like, ugh.
That's well, it's enough. Like you have a podcast. Do you listen to podcasts? I don't ever listen to a fucking podcast. I mean, everyone's like, what's your favorite
I might
podcast?
Listen to if like Rogan's got like a scientist or someone on, I'll listen to that. But that's probably about it. I also in the car when I'm driving, I listen to kids songs now because I have a child.
Oh yeah,
because
you got a kid.
And so like my Spotify rap the other day was just like the Wiggles. the Wiggles. So yeah, there's no time for anything else. It's just the Wiggles. But
wiggle room.
How many kids do you have?
Just one. That's one enough. Not enough, mate.
You got a strong bullet, man. I was like intimidated. I'm like, man, I need a hairline again. I remember the glory.
Oh, mate. Yeah. People have been. It's funny with the algorithm on YouTube. Like I've been getting a lot of comments like, I haven't watched you in like a year. What happened to your hair? I was like, dude, what do you think happened?
Oh,
I'm 32.
Like, I had a kid. Now I'm bald. Fuck you.
It's like, because I had heaps of hair, but it was just a receding hairline. It was just going back on the sides and it looked ridiculous. And I was going to the barber and I'm sitting in the, like I got a baby at home, sitting in the barber waiting for these Lebanese dudes to stop talking in a made-up language and cut me hair, and I'm waiting there forever. So I just said, I can't do this. So now I bought a shaver. I just do it myself. I sit out the back, put a little YouTube video. Done.
Yeah.
Laughing.
Done.
One of my friends, he said to me, the only people who ever should have hair is women and children.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
Well, only two types of people have hair, women and children. I think that's what it is. It's very true.
Yeah, if you are, I think you're not bald by your age. You have low testosterone, I think. I think it's just like, that's how I feel. Most dudes that have hair at my age are just gay, basically. That's how
Yeah, I think there's like a direct correlation to getting pegged and having heaps of hair, something like that. I don't know. Nothing. I got too many hemorrhoids for pegging. It scares me. You don't want to tear.
It's like, I'm already like married. I don't give a fuck what I look like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to do that ever again. Like, I don't have to be like, I don't have to like lure somebody into my fucking parents' basement because I'm with my looks. Like, I got in my fucking.
I would say you never have to lure people, but it's one of those
things. I got candy.
Just going out there like you're fishing, like trying to put a bit of bait on the hook. It's awful. Trying to meet people, then you got to get to know them. Oh,
ew.
Heavens above. It's worse. Got to ask questions. What type of music are you like? Who cares? No one gives a shit. Have you ever been raped?
Never.
You have.
Awesome. What was your favorite rape?
No, well, I thought you were asking me. I once had a girlfriend. Well, not a girlfriend. She was like a lady friend, and she told me whilst we were doing the actions that her auntie had died that day.
What?
That was the most insane thing anyone had ever told me whilst I was.
She just kind of slipped that in there.
And I was like, what's wrong? She got my auntie
you
died.
You better today. Fuck me harder. My aunt just died.
Yeah, I know. I was getting kind of hard just hearing her aunt died. I'm like, fuck, I don't even know what's going on. Her aunt died. I'm like, this is
like, What do I do here?
Fuck yeah.
Tell me more. How'd she die?
Did she die? What was the cholesterol? Yeah. So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. It's very nice. It's good to be.
No, it is great. Being married is a great thing on earth. How long have you been married?
I've been married for 3.5 years.
Fuck yeah, man. No, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. You like basically like legally made somebody hang out with you all the time. Like,
yeah.
You're like, now you have to fucking hang out all the time.
It's great. My wife, Claire, is my best friend, and we do everything together, and we always have. Like, we've been together for like 11 and a bit years, something like that. And it's awesome. She's fucking hilarious. She wrote the Holocaust joke, the joke about the Christchurch massacre. She wrote that in the car.
Oh, shit. Does she do comedy?
She's got like 5 or 10 minutes of material she's been writing for years, and she could do it easily. She just hasn't done it yet, but I think she will. Maybe when our son's a little bit older, I think she'll do it. But she doesn't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, my husband, he does this, so I'm going to do it, all that type of stuff. But I was like, it's not like that at all. Like, genuinely hilarious, so you should do it.
Yeah,
but
you're like, we'll jump on these coattails and get 2 paychecks.
Yeah.
100%, right? I don't have to pay an opener anymore or a babysitter. It's great.
My wife opened for me in Hawaii when I had a show on Maui. I thought that was great. Like you said, you don't have to hang out.
Oh, really?
You hang out with your wife instead of like random people. You're like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I didn't know that.
I used to hit up a lot of comedians when they'd come to Australia and say, hey, do you want an opener, that type of stuff. And now I couldn't think of anything worse than hanging out with some random person I haven't met before. Like, fuck that.
If I'm sober, I agree with you. But if I'm drinking, I'll hang out with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try to hang out with everybody when I'm drunk.
I barely drink anymore. I used to. I used to play sport in the team that we were in. We're all heavy drinkers.
Hey, you were a rugby guy, weren't you?
Rugby league, yeah.
Fuck yeah, that's dope.
We'd play. We'd all have concussions and head knocks and brain bleeds, and then we'd go and drink for 2 days. So
lovely.
Fucking mongoloids. I doubt it even affected you guys. You guys are just fucking like, rugby's nuts. Like, that's like a nuts sport. You guys are freaked out by guns. I'm freaked out by rugby. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, it's a dumb sport. It's literally like, the thing about the NFL that I like is, well, you have the blockers when you're running. Like, someone can actually help you. But with rugby, they kick the ball off to you and you just run at the biggest fucking 130 kilo, 250-pound massive human. As fast as you can and try and hurt them with your body. It's not a fun sport. It's not a smart sport, that's for sure.
That's fun. Well, you're 6'8".
You come out half retarded.
Being 6'8" probably helps. I mean, that's fucking... That's
well, big. It's easy to tackle someone my size too, because if you tackle me around the legs, I just fall because I've got nothing I want. But it's sort of like, I'm very top heavy. Because when I was playing, I think I'm not sure what the weight, the conversion is, but I was about 135 kilos. So I think that's like, I'm not sure. I'll have a look, but.
I'm too dumb to even know what that means. I'm like, speak American.
Hang on. I'm going to find out. 300 pounds. So I was big. But I also was eating 2 dinners every night. It was a bit much, but yeah. So you know, you can do a lot of damage when you're that big. And I lost a lot of weight after that. I probably dieted and all that type of stuff, and got down to like, I think it was like 200 pounds or whatever it was. And I went and trained with the team that I used to play with, and I was getting thrown around like a rag doll. It was fucking horrible. I lost too much weight, so it helps to be a fat fuck sometimes.
Knocking
people over, yeah. Mm. Nice, love that.
Who's that guy that died in LA? Who's that family that died? What was his that guy? Well, recently, just
Rob Reiner.
Yeah, are you glad he's dead? Are you glad he's gone?
I know nothing about Rob, but I'll say this: R.I.P. Rob, I'll miss you.
See you on the side, Robert.
See you soon, baby. I don't know. Didn't his son stab him
or some shit? I didn't know how he died yet, but it said his son killed him or something. That's crazy.
Well. I mean, if your son stabs you, you must have done something wrong.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Trump wrote some like fucking like cocaine rant about him. It was like so fucking funny. It's like he's like R.I.P. Rob. But anyway, Trump's straight. You didn't like me anyway, motherfucker.
Yeah,
he's like just going off on him.
It was very funny because he's like sitting president. He's dead. He was never a good guy. He was just such a bad guy, terrible guy.
It's like a sitting U.S. president wrote a cocaine rant about his death. That's what it seems like. It starts off like normal. He's trying to be like empathetic and like a person, and then it just goes off the rails like midway through, just like being like, "Yeah, TDS," like all this other shit. I'm just like,
"Yeah."
That was the craziest rant I've ever seen in my life from a president. That's gonna be like in our history books now. Like that tweet will probably or whatever the fuck Truth Social post will probably be in the fucking history books. That's crazy,
man.
Trump is amazing. I love how off his fucking tree he is. It's great. He's so good at everything. And
he's a fucking character. He really is.
I think people like it because they know everything else that politicians say is just bullshit. Like, it's just a lie. Like, they're acting.
Yeah.
At least Trump's being, you know, himself.
No, he's actually being himself.
Yeah.
He's like the best comedian like ever. Like he'll just bomb Iran and make fun of it. I'm like, holy fuck, you're evil as shit. But it's
he loves it. He's like, they're all dead.
He has like some name for the guy he killed. He like murdered the guy. He's like, oh, lazy Muhammad. Like fuck whatever the fuck. He's just like murders the guy.
And then, we'll get his leg off, we call him Hopalong.
He'll roast him and then bomb him. I'm like, holy fuck, this guy's evil as shit. But it's like the best. Like, if you take like I don't know the whole soul thing out of it, it's pretty entertaining. You know, if you're not in touch with your soul, all these guys are great. But in American culture, he's the most American thing ever. He's like I'm rich, I got girls. You know, he's like the fucking he's basically like the extension of the American male ego. You know, it's like that's what and all the like in America there's like this weird like demographic of losers that want to live vicariously through winners. So they'll basically like watch these people that are like they're like whoa. Like that's what I like that guy's like rather than do the work themselves and become cool, they'll like take credit for the shit other people do. It's like weird. And that's his success.
Back in the day, 2016, 2015, when the whole grab him by the pussy thing, like that was actually, he said they will let you.
Right.
What's wrong with that? If they're letting you.
Well, it's I feel like the people that were mad are heterophobic. I think they're just like, he talks about getting laid. And speaking of
if someone wants to get grabbed by the pussy, like you know, what happened to my body, my choice? If they want to get their pussy grabbed, then they should be able to do it. And if anything, it's they are the ones who should be apologizing for being whores.
Speaking of straight people, there's nothing straighter than Chicago Steak Company. You know, this is the straightest, like, still scrambling for a Christmas gift. Many shipping deadlines have already passed. Here's your lifeline. Chicago Steak Company. Head to mychicagosteak.com/rumble. Code rumble. They're still shipping for Christmas, and shipping is free. Hurry, though. Slots are filling up fast. Gift your loved ones the top 2% beef in America. USDA Prime and Premium Angus. Hand-cut by master butchers. Marbling so good it hits a pan, fills the whole house. That buttery meat goodness. You know the one. Spend $229 and they'll throw in 6 free ribeyes plus free shipping. That's $240 premium steak on the house. Your gift shows up in a black and gold pack box. I don't know why it's a sell point. They crack it open, vapor rolls out, instant Christmas morning feel. Skip the sweater, give them something they'll actually remember. That's like 6 ribeyes for free. mysteak.com/rumble, code rumble. Be straight, eat the steak. Bam.
Nice. You've done Bob's Box Company, who's doing.
Like, dude, I know. Like, it comes in a black and gold box. Ads. I'm like, I'm already sold by the 6 free ribeyes. You don't have to tell me how it gets here. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. It comes in a box, made of cardboard. Very good.
You're doubling my money. That's what I want to do. You like, that's what I care about. You're like $240 worth of steaks.
Oh shit,
dude, man, what a crazy time. You know, what a crazy time. Like, what do you think? Do you think America is a better country than Australia?
Good question. I feel safer in Australia. I'll tell you why. I don't know it well enough. I don't feel like it's home. Whereas, you know, when you go back to your hometown or whatever, you feel like, you know, I'm secure here, sort of thing. If you've had a good upbringing or whatever. So I think that's the difference. I don't know. Like, we were staying in Austin, in East Austin, and the area, like, there was a lot of like women walking around with their dogs. And so I thought, okay, that's a pretty good sign that this is a safe area, particularly with a kid. But still it seemed sketchy. Like there was a lot of like sketchy shit going on. Like there was just like, you know, I don't want to sound racist here, but there was a heap of black dudes standing at the front of a gas station with their shirts off and they all looked at me and I was like, am I going to die? What's this? And they were just chilling out. But I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. If I was in Australia and I saw that heap of black dudes, I'd be like, okay, everything's fine. They're just normal people. Well, I mean, hanging out by a gas station isn't normal, but it's relatively normal. But when you don't know, you've got no idea. And we saw this. There was this one homeless dude, white dude. See, I'm scared of everyone. He was sort of like chasing people around. Actually, no, that was in New York. I got swung at by this crazy white dude in New York at like 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. I just got off the bus from New Jersey because we had to stay out there because this idiot booked my show in New York at the time the UN General Council was meeting. So a normal Airbnb, which was like $600 a week or whatever, $700 a week, whatever it was like $4,000. So I stayed in New Jersey anyway.
That's a smart move. Yeah, that's a smart move.
It was a really nice place. It was a completely Cuban area, and it was great. Pizza was amazing. Food was great. Anyway, we get there, and there's just this crazy white dude. And this is the thing: mental illness everywhere. Just swinging at people. I'm like, fuck this. Like I used to love New York. I've spent not heaps of time there. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks of my life there. It's awesome, but. This time with a baby, I was just like, oh, nah.
LA moved to Austin and New York City moved to Florida. That's basically what happened. If you go to Austin or most of the cities in Florida, everyone in Florida has a Brooklyn accent now.
Man, I've only been to Jacksonville. I enjoyed Jacksonville. I went there for the UFC it was sick. I had a great time in Jacksonville. I went to a gun show there and I saw all these fucking people walking around with guns. First time I've ever really seen it. And I was like, well, this is a bit odd, but they're the nicest people ever. I loved it.
Awesome. Florida's probably Australia with guns. It probably is. It's like your country with guns. Like the attitude of people, like they have the same kind of vibe you guys do. Like they're just down for whatever and shit. Like that's what Florida seems like to me.
So that's where I need to be. Understood. Where are you guys from?
I'm in St. Louis. I'm basically in one of those towns that everybody's scared of, where I just bully everybody. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, which is like a murder capital or something like that. But I basically bully everybody here because it's fun. And then she's from Hollywood. She's in Hollywood.
There's a lot of crazy. Psycho homeless people walking around all fucking strung out on
Hollywood Walk of Fame. I went there 3 years ago. I've only been there. I've been to Hollywood a heap of times. I only been gone to the Hollywood Walk of Fame once. It was terrible.
Oh yeah, people. I'm like, why people can't go there?
I wouldn't even go there.
I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, there's a crack pipe and a needle on the ground. Why are you bringing your kids here? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
are you doing? And that's the thing. People go there. They think it's going to be this amazing experience, and it is awful.
I'm going to see a celebrity.
I wouldn't even
stay in. Where did we stay? It's very, like, it's an Asian neighborhood out.
Koreatown? Koreatown?
No. Like, it was about 40 minutes from Hollywood.
Okay.
Well, everywhere's 40 minutes from fucking Hollywood. But
yeah.
Anyway, it was beautiful because we'd stayed in LA a few times and. We stayed near the airport and we stayed further in and all that type of stuff. But this place we stayed, I can't remember the name, it might come to me. It was absolutely just lovely. We found a fucking tortoise walking on the road. Someone's tortoise escaped, an African tortoise. Not that I see color, but it was an African tortoise. ChatGPT told me. And it was just sort of, my wife went for a run and she always runs into animals and shit or people. Like she
That's
found
hilarious.
A around in Australia, like up the road from our house. He was just like passed out, drugged out of his mind, and she just took a photo with him. I was like, what are you doing? And she had to help because she's a lovely person, but awful. Anyway, yeah, she found a tortoise. Great place, loved it. Actually enjoyed LA for once, so that was nice. But
nice.
No, man, I've heard a lot about Missouri and St. Louis. It's a bit scary.
People think so. I like it because, like, no one comes here. Because, like, I basically, like, to be honest, I love it here. The people in the suburbs are terrified of it, and I live in all. I enjoy the perks of the towers with everybody being scared of being here. I enjoy the low rent, to have a rooftop pool, and I'm just like, you know, what I mean, I'd probably worry about me more than the fucking poor people out here. I just bully them and shit. Like, go off this morning, I'm like, you got to fuck with them, dude. You got to raise them. You know, you got to dad them and shit. You gotta fucking bust them to Memphis. That's what I do. It's like I'm like, don't you have family somewhere? And they're like, yeah, I got family. I'm like, where at? And they're like, Memphis. I'm like, I'll give you a $60 fucking bus to get you the fuck out of here. You know, I'll buy them breakfast and bust them the fuck out of here. That's what I've been doing. So it's,
you know, I went to Hawaii a few years ago. I couldn't believe the homeless people there, like just the heat. And I understood the argument. Sorry. They were like, well, it's always a nice temperature here. Like it's
they're sleeping on the ground at Walgreens and shit. They're like at Walgreens sleeping on the grass and shit. I'm like, must be nice not have to pay for shit in Hawaii. It's fucking expensive ass island.
I love it.
Man. Coffees and shit. What island did you go to?
Main Island.
Oh, okay, I went to Maui. I haven't been to the main one yet. But no, that's dude. Yeah, that's a fucking weird trip out there.
What's the main on Honolulu?
Yeah, Honolulu. I think so. Yeah. Honolulu. Yeah,
it's really cool. I had a great time there.
How long's a flight from Australia? Is that?
It's about halfway from, halfway to LA. So it's about 7-8 hours or something like that.
Okay, it's 9 for me. So you're closer. Okay, I didn't realize that. But that's
yeah. It's basically in the middle of Australia and the US. So it's cool. I don't know if I'd go back there. There was not that much to do.
I don't like flying over the ocean. I don't like flying over the ocean. But I feel like, I don't know, I'm a bitch when it comes to that, you know? But
dude, I'm so used to flying over the ocean now. Like, you just sort of forget about it after a while. That flight, we've done that flight to LA like for 7 or 8 times. Probably 8. Well, it has to be an even number. It can't be.
That would be odd.
Probably 8 times now, and it's so long. It's just like, well, I've done it in coach twice, and it was terrible. The other time was in premium economy or whatever, but I did it in business once. I had points, so I did it in business, and business is shit. But also, there was 3 of us, so I'm not paying for business class for 3 people. That's insane.
So you just, like, you check your family in the luggage and take business class.
Well, I'm tall. I need the room.
No, they're not tall. I'm fucking big too. Dude, 9 hours from here, man. It was like I fucking hated it the whole time. Everyone's like sleeping on this plane. I'm just like fucking like watching Forrest Gump thinking about my death nonstop. I'm just like, if this crashes, I'm going to have to swim for like 6 fucking months if I can survive the crash. And then I got to fucking fight sharks and feed myself and fucking do all this dumb shit. I'm like, if anything fucks up, I'm completely fucking inconvenienced for at least 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
That's like how I feel the whole time. Fucks
up, you're just going to die. You just got to accept that you're dead.
Ideally, but I don't know. I'm just
you don't want to live in that situation. It's the same with like if an asteroid hits or a nuclear bomb goes off. Like if enough of them go off for a bad enough asteroid, you sort of want to die.
Yeah, you just lay around play dead. You're like, I'll just play dead till I actually.
Yeah, die. Like you don't want to go through. You don't want to live through The Walking Dead. Why would you want to do that?
No,
I don't want to do that. I barely wanted to live through COVID, and that was hardly as bad.
Yeah.
I barely want to live through this. My life's awesome. I couldn't imagine being inconvenienced in any way all the time.
No.
It's like,
you ever had a toothache? Fuck that. I'm ready to go.
Like 3 people asked me to be on the way here, and I'm just like, fuck this. I'm just like, fuck. Do you have any money? I'm like, fuck this. Like immediately, just like,
I'm going to walk in oncoming traffic. Fuck this shit.
I left my e-bike in my office and went to go grab food, which is a fucking mistake, not taking my e-bike. I walked to fucking get food. I come back, like, hey, you got any money? I'm like, yes. Like, I have some. I'm like, no. Like, I mean, it's like, every fucking time. It's like I'm just going to start like a charity that buses them everywhere. Because like, I'm about 3 bus tickets deep of getting the homeless out of here. But if I can get them all out of here, and just like send them to places I don't like, you know what I mean? Just like, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many are there? You could start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, start a GoFundMe to help the homeless get the fuck out of St. Louis. Like, we're gonna do this thing where we bus them all to Austin with the rest of them.
It's where, like, did they do that? Didn't they do that in
Texas? Does that? No, Texas buses them to Austin. That's where I got the idea. Texas bus. That's where there's so many homeless people in Austin because, like, but rest of Texas is like, fuck you, you're poor, and like mails them to fucking mails them to Austin. So I started just like mailing them individually. I started like buying their breakfast and like being like, yeah, you want to go somewhere? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'll Uber them to the fucking like the Amtrak and shit and send them to Memphis.
I think there's like levels to it, right? Like if someone's just down in their luck, okay, help them out, get them back on their feet. If they're addicted to drugs and they want to get off them, that's great. Come on, come in here.
Yeah.
But some should just be shot. Like there's a point where you just go, mate, you're beyond help. Like what are you doing?
Nothing.
Are you enjoying life? You're running around in fucking denim jeans. It's, you know, 120 degrees. Just
what? One guy got out of jail and he was in jail for like murder or something like that. And I'm like, here, here's a phone, here's a fucking job, here's this. Like some of them, like if he didn't have family, to get back on his feet. And I'm not God, I'm not judging him. He has to deal with God when he dies, not me. So I'm just like fucking like you're out of jail, so you paid your time. Like here's this, you know. And then other guys are just retarded and just like want shit all the time. Like this guy walked up.
Yeah, they're just like leeches. Like they don't actually want to do any work to like fix their life or change. They just want like other people to like give them a handout and like feel bad for them. And it's like, dude, I don't want to help you. Like if you're not gonna like do anything to change.
The ones that bring their entire bedroom to the side of the street. It's like, fucking move your bedside table, you weirdo. Like, what are you doing?
This one guy was like, you should help people. I'm like, when's the last time you've helped someone? And he like froze up. He's like, I'm like, it's just so weird. And like, they're not used to it. I'm from the suburbs where like most of the people in the city are like what you call like cucks. They're just like kind of like wimpy kind of cucks. And like, I'm from the suburb, which is like, where we just like make fun of everybody and just bully literally everybody. And I come out here. So we add that to the city of St. Louis. I feel like my energy is cleaning up St. Louis is how I feel. I feel like I'm just like just me being here, walking four blocks to here. We're like being out past whatever time everybody's scared. Everyone leaves at 7 p.m. here. It's now 10 p.m. here, basically. So like people just like, you know, I'm trying to say it's like people are so scared of this area that like you have to take it back. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's for the taking. Like I'm trying to buy office floors and shit. I'm in an old bank right now. Like, you mean, I'm in an old fucking like this building funded the first World's Fair in America. And it like built like all this other shit. And it's like I'm trying to restore this shit because like I'm like the energy of an old bank is great for business. Like I'm just on the second floor of an old bank basically, and it's good money energy. And the guy that owned this place originally in the 1800s was the only guy who's ever been mayor of St. Louis and governor of Missouri at the same time. And then they went after him for tax evasion and he paid it in cash. I'm like, I love this motherfucker. I mean, I'm like, I get fucking amped for hearing about him and talking about him. I'm like, that's what I want my town to be like. It's like I don't give a fuck about the losers. You know what I mean? They've got like, oh, I can't afford bread or I can't afford eggs. I'm like, you're a fucking loser. Your genetics are weak. You know what I mean? That's like how I feel at this point. It's like you can't figure out food, fuck off. Die. Go fuck off. I'm fat. I'm fat in a
recession. It's called natural selection, guys.
This is where you should throw in an ad read immediately after that rant.
Speaking of food, Chicago State. You know, I just feel like, don't you feel like that's like are we just going to be sympathetic towards everybody that's a fucking loser forever? Or are we just going to start winning? You know, that's what it feels like to me. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't have winner's remorse. I don't give a fuck. I'm the richest motherfucker in my family. I'm the richest motherfucker in my town. I don't give a fuck. I mean, like I feel like that's how I feel. And other people are like, oh man, it's really tough out there. It's Trump's fault. Really I can't afford bacon. I'm like, no, you're a fucking loser. It's why you can't afford bacon. You know? That's how I feel. I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, Isaac? Are we on the same page with this? Like, fuck the poor? You know?
Well, I've been working with homeless off the streets, donating my time for the last decade and a half. No, not really. fuck them, honestly. Make a stronger fentanyl, whatever. Take them out. Like,
give them stronger fentanyl.
You know, give them something. Give them give them acetaminophen. They'll overdose on that before they will on fentanyl. It's dangerous stuff. Obviously it comes down to a lot of people, mental illness and drugs and terrible mix. And you know, realistically, it probably comes down to, for most of the homeless people we see, awful parents. And that's why I take what I do. With trauma, like I take what I do with my baby very, very seriously. So we spend he's at home with us. He doesn't go to daycare. We spend a lot of time making sure that he grows up as a well-adjusted human being, because there's so many things, little things, big things, all that type of stuff that can go wrong in a young person's life that will ruin it for them and everyone around them for the rest of time. So. Yeah, it's such a horrible thing, but also there's so many people out there. You know, it's not up to you or me or anyone else to fix that shit. It's survival of the fittest, and it's good to help, but also at a certain point you just go, you know, well, that's unfortunate, but it is the way it is.
Yeah, it's like I'll help when I get help and stuff, but also, I mean, like, this is all, most of this is in jest. I'd help people when I can and stuff like that, but like, I mean, Boston Mouth's probably the smartest thing you do for our town. I mean, it's like I don't want to fucking gladiator that motherfucker. He doesn't deserve that. I'm not the judge, you know. Like, but it's like, go be a loser over there, you know. It's like, go be a fucking loser. We're winning over here. We're winning.
You may know the story. I don't. What's the story with all the sanitariums that were closed down? All the mental hospitals that were closed down in like the. Was it the late part of the early part of the 20th century sort of thing?
That's a super sketchy subject because, like, yeah, there was like they had all these mental homes and then they had all these orphans at the same time. It's like they put all the parents in the mental homes and then the kids all were like, where did all those fucking orphans come from, too? Like, there was so, like, dude, no, that's a weird, sketchy situation. I don't know, to be honest, man. I read a lot of
it. Because they had massive orphanages, right? Like, and they were all like, where's those big orphan buildings full of little children?
All those kids get sex trafficked now.
Oh, you're probably right.
And that's why we've got to bring more Jeffrey Epstein's into the world. He really loves a good orphan.
R.I.P. Jeff. R.I.P. You know,
R.I.P. Bring back the big fella. If you're up there hanging from the rafters.
I mean, if he really is dead.
Allegedly. Him and Charlie allegedly. Kirk. Pretty much. Yeah, it's I don't know, man. It's a crazy thing, but I remember hearing some sort of conversation that, you know, ever since they shut down all those mental hospitals, that like the homeless populations across the United States just exploded because all of these people were no longer receiving.
They're not being treated or medicated or being taken care of. Like, a lot of these people cannot even take care of themselves. That's why they're on the street. Like, they're schizophrenic. They're hallucinating. Like, they can't function in society. Like, they need to be on medicine. But like, people that are like that, since they're so dysfunctional, like being able to like get on Medi-Cal, a lot of them don't even have an ID. Getting on Medi-Cal, getting on medication is like difficult. It's like almost near impossible for them to even like, they need someone else to do it for them, you know?
Yeah. And if you're out on the street and you don't know where your next meal's coming from, as if you're going to take your fucking, your antidepressants or your antipsychotics at the same time every day, you know, for the next 6 weeks.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, you have your sort of homeless camps or your a hotel or whatever, but, you know, you can't bring your dog, you can't drink alcohol, you can't do this. There's all these rules, and then you're taking away someone's freedom to do what they want to do. And that's a whole nother thing, you know, to feel safe. You have to be able to make decisions for yourself. And then, you know, if you're living on the street, you go into one of these places, you don't feel like you're making decisions for yourself. You know, you're an adult. And if you're not in a good mindset or a good headspace or you're fucking crazy, you're not going to do that. So, so many things that, you know, that can't be just fixed with charity and these churches who do these things. You need to put in an incentive for businesses to be involved that really do actually help people, but it's just not there. And then it's not flash. It's not attractive. It's not sexy to help homeless people. It could be. Like, you know, Pornhub could have a category of homeless.
No, totally. Like, we were talking about donating a couple meals to homeless people on our comedy tour that's coming up, because I actually do some work with homeless people. I go down to Skid Row and I hand out food and clothing and stuff like that. And my aunt was homeless. I used to be homeless at one point. And like, you know, it's a shitty, like, getting to know people that are on the streets. It really is like such a deeper issue than like just even mental illness. Like, it's like there's so many things that are set up against them to even really get their life together that they are just like, well, let's just shove them in a corner where no one can see them. But it's not really like actually hitting the core of the issue, you know. But like, it's like, okay, so then what was paying for these psych wards before? Was it our tax money? Like, so we just cut that out and then started using that money for something else? Or like, I'm curious, like, how, like, the U.S. used to actually cover, like, the costs of public, like, psych wards and stuff like that.
There has to be an incentive for people to get involved and to make money. Otherwise, they just won't do it. Jesus Christ, exactly. That's a big jar. That's a big jar of drink.
I think it's a lot of, like, root causes, like lack of family. Families aren't united anymore. I think the American dollar has no value. I think jobs are complete bullshit, really. I mean, we're three very lucky people that kind of, I mean, we worked our asses off probably, but I'm saying like lucky in the sense, like, I don't see either any three of us having to like wake up at like 6 a.m. to work in a factory or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people have to do. And like, God, I mean, well, I'm just saying, like, we're the entertainment sector. We're very blessed to be in that, I think. I mean, granted, we worked for, I mean, Isaac and Nikki both obviously worked for this, but I'm just saying, like, still, it's lucky on top of it, because a lot of people, I mean, aren't easy. I mean, I get paid so much money the 21st from YouTube, I mean, and just random shit. I'm like, I don't have to do anything ever, really. I could sleep. I could probably sleep. I eat. Like, last week, I just ate edibles all week. I didn't even fucking leave my apartment. You know what I mean? So it's like, and I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's a blessing, and most people can't do that. And I have to remember that, because I'll just get caught up in my bullshit and be like, man, so many people have it so much worse where they, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that many people that could literally do nothing all day. I'm just ambitious. I don't really have to do anything, though, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's funny saying to people, like, you know, my career or whatever I'm doing is, you know, it's easy. Like, it's very, very simple, but it is difficult to obtain it or get in that position where you can actually do it. So
getting established is hard. The job's easy. No, for sure.
I think it's so difficult to do.
Because people, I was on a plane. Like speaking of Maui, we were talking about a little bit ago. I was on a plane, like landing, on, and this lady's literally like, I couldn't do comedy. That's terrifying. And I'm like scared to crash while she's telling me this. And she's like, yeah. Comedy's terrifying. I'm like, and I'm like, all it is talking for 30 minutes. I don't think that's the terrifying part. Flying over the fucking ocean is terrifying. Like to me, yeah. I feel like they're afraid to talk or try. A lot of people, but also not everybody's supposed to be what we're doing. I mean, we're supposed to do what we do. That's why we do it. They're supposed to do it. It's not a judgy thing.
You get to that situation if you have the skills and if you can develop the skills and if you commit yourself. Guys, I'm going to have to hit the road. I do apologize.
It's like 2 a.m.
Okay. Hey, question. What platform is your special on where people can find it?
It'll be on YouTube next.
It's going to be on YouTube? Okay, cool.
Isaac Butterfield. Yeah, he's fucking hilarious. Like, a lot of his videos are great. Sorry, I got hyped up. You're an absolute fucking legend, man. Thanks for even coming on here, man. I know it's like 2 a.m.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you, man.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate your time and all the very best. And I hopefully see you guys when I'm back in the States next year at some point.
Yeah, let's awesome. Let's get all straight for bro. I'll fucking say the N-word for you. I'll be an opener and say the N-word. Like,
thank you.
I'll make you look good. I'll make you look good.
Thank you, bro. All right. Yeah, thanks, see you, Zana.
God bless, bro, man.
Okay. Bye. Have a good night.
You got any more ad reads before we get out of here? I'm going to. Yeah, that's a complete legend out of Australia, man. He's
yeah. Oh, I'm gonna do a quick promo. I'm doing a show at a place called The Dime in West Hollywood on Fairfax on Sunday at 8 p.m. If anyone here is in LA and wants to check it out, come through. It's a pretty small venue, but I'm gonna do a couple more shows in LA before we get started on this tour to work out some of my material. So yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, no, it's awesome. Congrats on that shit. Like, let me see. I'm gonna do one more ad maybe or something because we're getting $5 per ad instead of 60 cents. We're moving up. moving on up in this rat race, you broke motherfuckers. I'm about to make $5.88 for this next ad. Okay. All right, Mr. White Man Reason ad. All right. It's
I love it. Getting paid.
It just goes, dude. This is so crazy. Okay, hang on. I already fucked up this ad because like the read's weird. I want to share a quick story about farming and family support. This channel 8 years ago, their brother returned from Afghanistan. I'm already out. I don't need the $5. Anyway, thanks. I'm already out. That's a note for me, dog. It's a note for me. But all right. What else okay, we got? Cool. Dude, we have 600 people watching from my clips channel. My main channel is fucking my main channel is banned for like a couple more days where I can't upload a video or go live. But Anthony Rogers, YouTube.com/AnthonyRogersClips has almost 700 people watching live right now. I love
you. Okay, fuck yeah.
I love you motherfuckers for even watching this.
Hell yeah. That's amazing.
People on Rumble watching as we're featured on Rumble. If you found us on the front page of Rumble, Rumble. I love you, Rumble. And thanks for fucking making my dreams come true, you sexy.
Yeah, woman. Hell yeah.
And what else? We got 198 people on Twitter. I mean, these are moderate numbers for YouTube and Facebook. Usually I have more on YouTube and Facebook, but 198 on Twitter, I barely advertise the Twitter one. So that's like crazy. Yeah. I mean, you guys are finding us and like fucking, I appreciate it. And come on tour and like Charlie Kirk, yeah. I'm sick of being alive. So if you could on stage, I go out like my hero, Charlie.
I'll give you the location. I'll give you the time. I'll give you the coordinates. Okay.
Yeah, do I have the flyer on here? I'll give you. Yeah. If you want to shoot me, make sure to go at one of these. Let me pull it up real fast. I want to be like Charlie. He's my hero. So if you could shoot me on stage and take me out of my misery.
Up there watching. Well, maybe his death was fucking fake too. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to think anymore.
I don't know anything. That's what I realized.
I mean, with AI and all these fucking like ways to fucking fake videos, I don't know. I mean, do we know? It's like, I don't know anyone who was there and saw that shit. Like maybe it wasn't even real, dude.
Look at this. Are you fucking kidding me? This is how big the flyer is. Are you kidding me? You gotta fucking be kidding me. Like, hang on, I'm trying
Can you guys read that?
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna have to full screen. Hang on, let's see what the fuck that meant. Okay, there you go. So January, Nikki's not on this part of it yet. I'll let you know when she's on it. Okay, so I'm in Charleston at an event you can't go to because it's not fucking public. I'm then at Tommy some shits at Charleston. I'm then at Eclipse Nightclub, Savannah, Georgia. And then Nikki joins us in Jacksonville at First Coast Comedy. Then we have two shows in Jacksonville, another one at Eclipse Bar. Then we go to Good Nights Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina for two nights. Then we go to Tally Ho, which is, some of these are sold out. I think the Tommy Codons in Charleston sold out already. But so we got a bunch of, read the fucking screen. I'm trying to read the screen. But we were at West Virginia University. I think No, I'm just fucking trying. I got bored reading this halfway through it. But basically, thank you for watching. God bless all of you. Hope your dreams come true. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Come see me in some of these places and wrestle me in person.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Bye. All right. Bye.